Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, it's over. Call it a day. Sorry that it had to end this way. No reason to pretend. We knew it had to end someday. This way.
Guess it's over. The kicks are gone. What's the use of trying to hang on?
America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. The title of our show tonight is A Whole Lot of Shaking Going On. And following the shakeout, we got rid of some communists on the 4th of November. Thank God. Thank God. Oh, and speaking of thanking God, I see that the anti-Christmas kickoff has started. And IHOP is having holiday pancakes. Well, I won't be having any of IHOP's holiday pancakes. Not at all. If I don't see the word Christmas on the sign on the door, Merry Christmas, I'm not coming in. I can do that. I have the power of the pen and the phone. I can call 10 people and tell them that IHOP is rejecting Christmas, and they will call 10 people. And before you know it, the whole country will know it. So, I'm giving you a warning right now, all you communists out there who like to spit on Christians and other religions. Do not wish me happy holidays, because happy holidays to me, I don't hear that word. My mind reinterprets that word, happy holidays, two words. And you know what comes back after the scramble? F you, Christian. And another one is season's greetings. Don't give me season's greetings. This is the birthday of Jesus Christ. He was born in a manger. And there's a star of wonder. And there are three wise men that came to visit him in his humble beginnings. So don't give me this season's greetings a crap. What season are you talking about? Hunting season? Fishing season? Drought season? Deer season? Forget about it. Don't say anything. Just mumble.
Lousy Christian.
Yeah, keep it to yourself. Don't antagonize me. But if you want to wish me a happy holy day, well, that's different. If you want to wish me a Merry Christmas, oh, I'll take that six ways to Sunday. And speaking of happy holy days, I read an article that says that the Muslims have managed to murder the remnants of the Christian population throughout the Middle East. It has gone from 20% Christian down to 4% Christian. And I get a flashback. A couple of years ago in my church, you know, after the Mass, they usually introduce somebody that needs help. And they introduced people from Bethlehem who were Christian. And they were forced out of Bethlehem. And what they were doing is, to earn a living, they had olive tree wood from the Holy Land. And they were making creches, you know, the creches that are banned according to the ACLU, the fighting arm of the KGB. Yes, because it might offend somebody. And well, you're offending me. Don't I count? No, I'm a Christian. Yes, and so that's what these people were doing to survive. And I got to tell you, the looks on their faces. There wasn't a smile on one face. It's like they're in a strange land and they're starting over. They're walking away from their heritage of generations that were with Jesus when he was born. You know, it's a terrible thing when you lose your roots. It's a terrible thing when you lose your country. And you could experience both of those things before you die. We are not the strongest nation on the earth, like the Democrats tell you as they cut the size of the military. Don't believe it. There are people out there that are just chomping at the bit to try us. So, from the 20% Christian population in the Middle East, and guess what sanctuary city they are going to be saved from extinction by the Muslims? They're going to Jerusalem. They're going to Israel. Israel is going to be the last bastion of the Bible. It is really sad. Absolutely sad. So, having played too much, too little, too late, the fallout begins. Obama appoints another Eric Holder, another lynch mob. The Democrat DOJ is another KGB tool to destroy God and country. Ms. Lynch indicted conservative Congressman Michael Grimm from New York. Just before his election, they smeared him and charged him with 20 counts of income tax evasion. Grimm won re-election from 911 New Yorkers. You know why? They thanked him. First off, they know a crook when they see one, because we got them all over in the House and the Senate. And we also got them on the City Council in New York. Yeah, the City Council that voted the Mohammed Bloomingdale a third term, yet denied an extension to Rudy Giuliani so he could finish up his 911 work. Yes. And that's how life is in the big city. The city council who approved an FU mosque to be built across the street from the World Trade Center. Yes, they called themselves the city council. So, what did Grimm do? The New Yorkers, the 911 New Yorkers in his district, thanked him for his combat service in Iraq. where, as a Marine, he marched prisoners through a minefield, risking his own life. He caught them, and he was bringing them back so that we could send them to Gitmo, and then Obama could send them back in the battlefield. Like he traded up 5 governors of the Taliban for Bo Birdcall, a deserter, who was last seen wearing a little red hat. Yeah, and drinking from a 2-liter bottle of soda under torture from the Haqqani network, who does not kill, only trades for dollars. And there's a story out there that there is money that was paid for Bo Birdcall by the government that does not pay for hostages. So, our hero, Michael Grimm, served in Iraq, risking his life for America. And then he joined the FBI, and once again he risked his life for America by working undercover. It also happens that he owns a restaurant where the Department of Justice filmed him taking, according to their figures, a $20 bill from the cash register. It was comprised, they have evidence, comprised of 1 10, a 5, and 4 singles. That's a DOJ $20 bill. He's also charged with hiring 2 of the 30 million illegal invaders Obama the Coyote smuggled into the country, and who we don't know who they are, and when they get siphoned off by organized crime and murdered, we will never know the names of the victims. Michael Grimm is a good guy and was targeted by the Party of Death. His 2 biggest crimes are he is pro-life and pro-American. The DOJ lynched him using Mrs. Lynch. Oh, so she got the job as payback for following orders. No way will the USA be represented fairly by this Soviet-like apparatchik. This is not justice for all. This is shades of the KGB. If a 4 sheets to the wind Boehner and Match McConnell, a flag burner of record who voted with 40 Democrat senators to burn the flag of the United States, and he's being covered up by the Rhino Party, cannot convince the president to select someone who represents all the people, then McConnell and Boehner must also go. So having said that, I will give you a heartwarming song.
Never felt like this until I kissed you. How did I exist until I kissed you? I didn't realize uh-huh, I kissed ya. Oh yeah, I kissed ya. Uh-huh, I kissed ya.
The Tea Party's not too thrilled about this. They're calling her Eric Holder in a dress, okay, about her appointment. And they're commenting on her comment where she said that the voter ID laws are racist and must be stopped. And a lady named Marilyn in the Tea Party said she could. If the Dems that are still there had the backbone to tell Obama no, but you know, she could be stopped. But I'm not holding my breath on that. So that's one comment from a Tea Party supporter. And here's one from a guy named Rusty. Let's see what he says. Okay, he's talking about, I have a, I'll read it to you and then we'll go back to, okay. I'll tell you what it was. I have a suggestion list of what we can do to get the economy going by Monday morning. And one of my suggestions is to eliminate self-service gas pumps. And that means that the oil companies would have to hire pumpers. And that would probably put 60,000 people to work right away. And so Rusty says, why eliminate self-serve gas pumps? That would increase the price of the gas. And no, it wouldn't, because we would make it a law that you can't raise the price of the gas. Yeah, that's right. The oil companies can pay for the hiring of the pumper. And then he says, and I also said, drill as many wells as we have to get the price of gas down to $2 a gallon. And he says, why eliminate self? Oh, no. If you do that, why bother drilling more wells to try and get the price of gas down? Because I don't believe that we have to raise the price of gas. That's a con. That was a con right from the beginning. They give you X amount of dollars. And then they say, if they charge you X amount of dollars for the product, and they say, but if you pump it yourself, you will only pay this. Well, I'm saying, don't charge us X amount of dollars. Let's get the bottom price right from the very beginning. And if we drill as much oil as we need to get the price down to $2 a gallon, 60,000 people are going to be employed pumping gas, and they're going to be happy. And the economy is going to boom because everybody's going to have, instead of empty pockets, something in the pocket. And I also suggested a 20% reduction in income tax and property tax. No, I didn't mention, I didn't say income tax. I said property tax. And a 20% reduction in another kind of tax. And he believes they should be eliminated altogether. Well, so do I, but 20% is a nice start. I'm looking to get the economy going. And the government will never eliminate that tax, but they may have, they could be forced into giving back 20%. I have never volunteered to have my property or my labor taxed. And I also mentioned, when I find the list, I'll read it to you. There should be no tax on anybody's salary over 40 hours a week. The first 40 hours is taxable. If you work 80 hours busting your ass, the government should not be riding your coattails and sucking your blood. Okay, so let's see. We're going back to the AG nominee. Okay, somebody said she might be from Chicago, but that's unknown. That's an unknown factor. Obama, when he first elected, bragged that he was from Chicago, which is well known for its criminal culture. The hoods called lawyers mouthpieces, and I was referring to Obama hiring another mouthpiece on our tax money. That's all Holder has been, a personal yes boss to Obama. Yes, he is a big disgrace, and he's not getting off the hook, ditching everybody behind Fast and Furious. The reason that Sergeant Tamarissi rotted in jail was because Coyote Drug Lord of Mexico has it in for Obama, for Fast and Furious, because all of the guns that Eric Holder ran down there were used to overthrow his government. And that's why when that poor lost a sergeant pulled up to the border and said, "Listen, I made a wrong move. I want to go back to my country, and I have three guns in the car," before they searched his vehicle, because he knew what they were going to do. And nobody helped him. Nobody helped him except Greta and a handful of other people. No politician would stick his neck out. You know, I watched the hanging of the Japanese generals and the German Nazi party leaders in the Nuremberg trials. And one of the guy that was sitting behind Tojo, another Japanese who was charged with war crimes, and he was sitting behind Tojo, and he would slap Tojo in the head. You know, like a Three Stooges routine. And he was laughing like crazy. So they removed him from the punishment box, the trial box, because they classified him as crazy. I said, "What a beautiful way to beat the hangman, right? How you going to hang a crazy guy?" Yeah, of course. Maybe I shouldn't mention that. I don't want to give anybody ideas. So, yeah, Holder has been two peas in a pod. There's no difference between Holder and Obama. Let's see if anybody else has got a comment. Liwana. Oh, that's a Ferguson insider. You know, they're planning on Ferguson riots, right? Ferguson is a Democrat town, so I guess this is another example of the Democrat Party only caring when it's time to vote or use them for political gain. Michael Brown was a 300-pound, over 6-foot criminal thug. But the blacks there want anyone black to be declared innocent no matter what they do, and anyone white to be declared guilty no matter what the truth or facts are. Liwana Hinton sounds like a soul system, unless it's just a nom de plume for a white guy. But I'll tell you, the solution to Ferguson is very easy. The people that were really abused were the merchants, the Indian merchants. That's how it began. Remember, the thug walked in to a bucala and stole the cigars. And when the Indian merchant, who was all of 110 pounds soaking wet, stopped him at the door to get paid, he roughed him up and intimidated him. And so then when Ferguson got shot, the neighborhood went into the stores that the Indian people owned, and they looted them, and they destroyed all their goods. And the Indian people were never compensated for it. And the only way that you're going to put an end to that kind of violent crime is to put a big wall around the shopping center so that the customers can't get in and to rob the merchants. It's sad, man. We're sick people. We're sick people. The doctor's coming and everybody's getting injections. Obama's Attorney General by Carlos. Loretta Lynch in late October, even Mr. Irritated himself stated that ID is not the reason people and his, and this includes black folks don't vote. Obscumbo said this himself, just like he said, "My name is not on the ballot, but for sure my policies are." So that's Carlos Ramos. God bless you, Carlos. Viva Cristo Rey. Vaya con Dios, amigo. They all think that the Latinos, the communists think that they got the Latinos wrapped around their finger like they got the blacks wrapped around their finger. But the Latinos are moving up the ladder faster. And the Latinos, today's lawn cutter is tomorrow's contractor. And already their children grow taller than their parents. And they have another redeeming social value. They worship God. They were taught by the Spanish monastery monks. And many are Catholics. And they also understand Latin Mass. Big family people with a father and a mother. And they are going to move up the ladder already. I went to high school in 1955. And I would say a third of my class was Latino, a Catholic high school in Harlem. And about 10% of the class was American, black American. And all of those guys graduated and went on to be successful. So, of course, we had a God and country education. We were taught to love God and to love this country. And everybody, at that time, there was a draft, so everybody got to serve their country. Unless you were 4F or a Democrat. I'm only kidding. Don't get upset. Here's Marilyn's talking about Ferguson Insider. Works for me. And she's talking to Luana. Works for me. Orrin Hatch, Obama's attorney general. This is by a guy named Dave. I vote in Ohio. They check voter IDs and voter cards. This is the way it is done. Don't like it? Sit home on election day. Yeah, you got to have, let's not be ridiculous, man. You had to have proof to drink at 18 in New York when America was mature. Now you got to be 21. Actually, the age of reason in the country today is 29. Yeah, it is really sad, man. Really sad. A buddy of mine was watching one of those housewife shows, and the girl was saying, "Oh, he just discovered a girl that works for a contractor." She's a secretary for a contractor, a young, single, you know. And she went out and bought a bag. And it wasn't a Coach bag. It started with an S, like Simone or something. And he was asking everybody, guess how much she paid for the bag? And, of course, I figured $500. Another guy figured $900. She paid $3,400 for the bag. And then he's watching the Housewives of Orange County, I think it was. And he says, this girl, she's married to this guy. And the guy tells her he just lost his job and they won't be able to afford too many luxuries. And the girl is telling her girlfriends, you know, I was raised differently. I'm accustomed to more than this. If he can't pull out of this slump, I'm going to have to divorce him. I'm going to give you a tune, and when I come back, we'll give you a nice one. Johnny Mathis, A Certain Smile.
Fleeting glance can comes that certain smile to heart your heart again.
Joke just in. woman and her husband, they're going to her 40th high school reunion, and the husband hates to go. So she's going around and she's introducing everybody and kissing everybody, and he's just sitting at a table where he's having a glass of wine, and he's sitting there and he's miserable. And out on the dance floor is a guy that's dancing up a storm, and he's got no gray hair. He looks good. He looks young. He's out there dancing up a storm, and the wife comes back to the table and she goes, "You see that guy out there dancing up a storm?" Says, "Yeah." Says, "He asked me to marry him." And the husband says, "Yeah, and it looks like he's still celebrating." Not bad, huh? Yeah. Okay, let's see what else we got going here. I was going to tell you about that. We'll be in an economic recovery by 9 o'clock on Monday. Let's see. Oh, here's one. It's time for a super strike force. It is time for a super strike force. Yes, we have the best, and the president chews them up and sets them up from Ebola land to Benghazi. In the past, Democrat presidents have wasted many lives in poorly planned operations. Vietnam and Somalia come to mind, as does Reagan's Beirut, to be fair. It seems like when we go on peaceful missions, we get killed a lot. Never forget, we never fight the one enemy. We always have homegrown communists stabbing us in the back. Peaceniks, the compassionate, the anti-war crowd. They are really the anti-win crowd, and their slogan is "any country but mine." They believe only jerks have patriotism. You know who they are. You can smell them. Oh, were they disappointed in Desert Storm? And then we won Iraq for the Iraqi people, and Obama's run out opened the gates to ISIS, as if it was the southern border. Let us do a Benghazi review. Obama, without the approval of Congress as spelled out in the Constitution, violated the law of the land with a bogus executive order and invaded Libya. Then he set up a base of operations to sell Gaddafi's weapons to ISIS, working with the Turkish government. What his unrelieved generals, Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, and powertrain forgot to do was what Romans did for 1,000 years, build fortifications by nightfall. He sent his CIA team into 2 locations in Benghazi, and they failed to build pitchworks. Then he hired the enemy to protect them. No general fights a battle without reserves. There is always an element saved to plug holes in the front line. Benghazi was the classic faux pas. No air cover. Only fools would have no air cover, at least for evacuation. no offshore ships, subs, or aircraft carriers. The beach house, and that's all it was a beach house, was 5 blocks from the sea. All we had was a drone to watch men die. They say it was unarmed, but I don't believe it. 4 men were left to die on a rooftop after they laser-painted a mortar platoon for the F-16 that never came. Hillary only takes 3 a.m. phone calls. Obama takes nothing. Leon Panetta said that we can't go in guns a-blazing, not knowing the layout. What he did not say was Obama told me to hang up on that 911 call. Hillary said, who cares how they died? Neither of these people should ever be allowed to take kids to school. Benghazi is a great example of our military preparedness. You know the meaning of the word zilch? Because zilch is what we have. And we can verify that over the bodies of Sean Smith, Ty Woods, Glenn Doherty, and another ambassador. The media used to say, when they covered up for Obama, Ambassador Stevens and 3 others. I'm just getting even. I'm getting their names out, being that they paid the ultimate price, not Obama. Bush lost 4,700. Just before Obama ran out of victory Iraq, the communist media was telling the lemmings, America is war-weary. The 99% who never bleed are tired. The 1% who are giving up life, limb, and the pursuit of happiness are carrying the war Jones of a nation that lives in a Hollywood world. Finally, a journalist gets his head cut off on TV and 99% are furious. Wait till you see the first GI being beheaded out of the 3,000 that Obama has allegedly sent there. Wait till he hits the ISIS of video. Bush lost 4,700 killed in action in Iraq to take the land that Obama gave to ISIS. Multiply that by 7 and you have the wounded. Every day, the communist press had identified every fallen American by name, town, and age. And then they shoved 9 mics in a mother's face, asking her how she felt about the death of her son under Bush. Under Obama bin Laden, his Afghan KIA count is up to 2,347. You know how many Bush lost in Afghanistan? 461. Not one name is mentioned in the hidden press. They are classified as NATO troops. They get no credit for being American. And NATO troops to be identified later, which never comes. Now Obama has to go back, starting with 3,000 troops/advisors, to regain everything he gave away. This causes our GIs to win again the day. The Battle of Fallujah was a classic mistake. The State Department intervened halfway through the city, pulled all the Marines out, failed to negotiate a deal, and then, after their failure, ordered the Marines to go back in and die again for the territory they already won. Obama is about to add Iraq to his personal body count. He may exceed Bush's Iraq KIA list. So much for the words, Osama is dead. He gave Osama bin Laden 4 months to escape. All American troops are out of Iraq. I'm sending 3,000 back. You know, after you see one American having his throat cut live on TV, the return engagement figure will go to 10,000 minimum. That brings me to my topic. It is time for a super strike force. Instead of 10 guys striking quickly using the element of surprise, we need an entire division that can do the same thing. The downsiders will say it can't be done. The can-do people will say we have to. We should be able to get into Nigeria securely in 3 hours, wipe out all of Boko Haram in 2 hours, and disappear in another 3 hours. And that would be a regular 8-hour workday. The fastest time a jet plane could have been over Benghazi was 20 minutes. We need to land a full division in 3 hours, starting with 20-minute guys. All combat scenarios have this overwhelming, should have this overwhelming element. We are in the space age and must move super fast anywhere in the world. Not only going in, but getting out. How can we do it? There's a way to do it, right? What's the odds? Something is just coming over to the Tea Party hotline. Kenyan Catholics say they have evidence of World Health Organization's population control scheme. The Kenya Conference of Catholic Bishops claims that vials of a tetanus vaccine being used in a program administered by the World Health Organization and UNICEF contain a chemical hormone that causes miscarriage and other infertility issues. We raise questions on whether the tetanus vaccine was linked to a population control program that has been reported in some countries where a similar vaccine was laced with beta HCG hormone, which causes infertility and multiple miscarriages in women, reads a statement signed by 27 bishops. We want to announce here that all the tests showed that the vaccine used in Kenya in March and October 2014 was indeed laced with the beta-HCG hormone. The bishops wrote in their statement, which was accompanied by a press conference on Thursday. The bishops have demanded answers from Kenyan health officials over what they believe a secret program using the pregnancy hormone HCG or human chorionic gonadotropin. According to Medicare International, another faith-based health organization that does work in Kenya, women are being injected with both HCG and tetanus antibodies. Tetanus is laced with HCG and administered in 5 doses every 6 months. The women develops, the woman develops antibodies against both the tetanus and the HCG in 2 to 3 years after the last injection, wrote Wahome Nagare, an obstetrician affiliated with Mater Care. Once a mother develops antibodies against HCG, she rejects any pregnancy as soon as it starts growing in her womb, thus causing repeated abortions and subsequent sterility. That's just coming out, and there's nobody commenting on it. If they could do that to a type of vaccine, what else can they do? That is scary. The truth is the truth. And the truth is not scary. It's what it is. But lies, man. Okay. Let me see if I can find my blog that said. Let me see if I put it in with the drafts. No subject. There's nothing there. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, I know what that is. Okay. That's not what we're looking for. We'll go back to new mail, and we'll jump to a tune. You know how long a drug abuse has been going on in the world? A long time, right? Here's a Cab Calloway song called Kicking the Gong Around. This is about opium in New York.
Cookies laid around, some were high and some were mighty low. Counting millions on the floor when a knock came on the door, and there stood old Smokey Joe. He was sweating, cold and pale. He was looking for his trail. He was broken, all his junk ran out. As he stood and looked around, nobody made a sound, and then you'd hear old Smokey shout, tell me where is Minnie?
Where is Minnie?
Oh, I want my little Minnie. Has she been here kicking the gong around? If you don't know her pleasure, kicking the gong around. Giddy widdle diddy wall, diddy widdle diddy wall, diddy 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 diddy. The curtains parted,
the curtains parted,
and there was Minnie kicking the gong
Here's a headline, a doctor's opting out of Obamacare exchange plans. As many as 214,500 doctors will not participate in any Affordable Care Act exchange plans in the coming year, according to a medical practice trade group. Physicians are opting out for two main reasons: concern over low reimbursement rates and worries that in a significant number of cases, they won't be paid for their services. A new survey by the medical group Management Association reveals exchange plans or health insurance marketplaces facilitate the purchase of health insurance in each state in accordance with the Affordable Care Act. The exchanges provide a set of government-regulated and standardized health care plans from which individuals may purchase health insurance policies eligible for federal subsidies. In March of 2012, the more money the government takes from you, the more they make you beg for it back. In March 2012, the Department of Health and Human Services set forth the procedures to be followed if patients with an exchange plan stop paying their premiums. In the private health care market, an individual loses coverage after failing to pay a premium, but exchange plans must provide their members with a 90-day grace period to pay their premiums. Brittany Lacouture of the American Action Forum points out in a report on that survey, the insurer is required to continue coverage for 30 days. After that, any medical care given a patient will be covered by the insurer if the overdue premium is paid by the end of the 90-day period. If the patient does not pay up, the health care provider will have to recover any charges incurred between the 31st and 90th day of the grace period. I heard somebody talking the other day about a doctor that came to visit his father and gave the entire family a checkup. That's when doctors, when I was a little kid, and doctors used to come to the house. And that's it. You want to take care of Johnny, Harry, Tom? And he got probably $5 for his trouble, and it was the middle of the night. The insurer is required to continue coverage for 30 days. If the patient does not pay up, you'll have to recover the charges between 31 and 90 days. If he doesn't pay, the provider won't be compensated. A patient could conceivably join an exchange plan, stop paying the premium, receive extensive medical care, and escape paying completely. This is the number one reason for providers deciding not to participate in exchange plans, said Lacouture. Who knows that nearly 1 million individuals enrolled in exchange plans have not paid their premiums to date? The other major reason for doctors opting out of the exchanges is the low reimbursement rates. Compared to each doctor a private plan pays providers for a service, it's estimated Medicare pays 80 cents and Obamacare exchanges about 60 cents. That insurers would compete by lowering payments to providers, and the providers would make up the difference with an increased patient load. Yeah, that's great. That's great, man. That's like doing four plates in a year, you know? And the more plates you do, you'll make up for the broken ones. Primary care providers, however, are also overburdened and have too many patients as it is. So the increase in volume will do nothing to offset their losses. She concludes the reduction in payment and rates have caused many physicians and hospitals to decline to accept insurance plans issued through the exchanges. So, there you go. That's what's happening in the world. They're going to ban smoking in subsidized housing. Here's the story on the Christians that are fleeing to Israel for safety. A Greek Orthodox priest told a United Nations panel about the horrifying plight of Christians in the Middle East and said Israel is the only place in the region where Christians can live in safety. The earth of the Middle East is soaked with the blood of Christians being killed daily, Father Gabriel Nadav, who lives in Israel, told the UN Human Rights Watch in testimony released Wednesday. You know that at the start of the 20th century, Christians comprised 20% of the population of the Middle East. Today, it's only 4%. For years, some 100,000 Christians have been killed annually. And why? Not for a crime they've committed, but only for believing in Christ, only due to their religion. Christians in the Middle East are marginalized, their rights denied, their property stolen, their honor violated, their men killed, and their children displaced. Persecution has led to a massive exodus of Christians from the region. Since the fall of Saddam Hussein in 2003, the Christian population of Iraq has been reduced by half, CNN reported. In Syria, one-third of the Christians have fled the country. If we look at the Middle East, we realize there's only one safe place where Christians are not persecuted. One place where they are protected, enjoying freedom of worship and expression, living in peace, and not subjected to killing and genocide, Nadav said. It is Israel. The Jewish state is the only safe place where the Christians of the Holy Land live in safety. A Jewish newspaper in the United States, the Allgemeiner, reported that the Christian population of Israel has more than quadrupled since its independence in 1948, from 34,000 to 158,000 in 2012, and it is still growing. When I went to high school, I learned that there were 5,000 Irishmen living in the Negev desert. Why was that? Because they were considered traitors to the British crown and IRA suspects. So they rounded them up and they shipped them to Palestine. And there they lived in the Negev desert in a community. And when Israel fought for its independence, of course, they stood with Israel. So, the priest told the UN panel in Geneva, many in the international community have chosen to criticize Israel. This, in my mind, is a double crime because by doing so, the international community helps those striving to annihilate the Jews, the Christians, the Druze, and the Yazidis for political ends. Nadav's testimony was released one day after the latest in a long series of atrocities carried out by zealous Muslims. Those are good Muslims. Those are deeply religious Muslims. They are doing the work of the Prophet Muhammad. And the minorities were accused of blasphemy. On Tuesday, a mob in Pakistan beat a Christian couple to death and burned their bodies for allegedly desecrating a Quran. Shama Masih, a pregnant mother of three, reportedly burned some papers belonging to her deceased father-in-law, and a Muslim co-worker claimed to have found burnt remnants of pages from the Quran. A cleric in their Pakistani village told his community through loudspeakers to punish Shama and her husband Shehzad. The mob dragged the couple out of their home and beat them to death before burning their bodies in a kiln, Reuters reported. But eyewitness accounts cited by CNS News asserted that the couple were beaten and then burned alive in the kiln. Police claimed they arrested 44 people. Christians make up 4% of the population in Pakistan. Isn't that horrible? Why can't we all... The solution to all the crime in the Middle East, all of the jihad, is to go Christian and practice love. And then you'll have peace in the Middle East. A lot of those people used to be Christian. Is it time to sing A Nation once again? Let's see. We got 242. We'll do the 242 version.
When boyhood's fire was in my blood, I read of ancient free men, of Greece and Rome who bravely stood, 300 men and free men. And then
hope had shone the firelight, nor could love's brightest summer glow outshine that solemn starlight. It seemed to watch above my head through foreign field and fair.
Okay, here's some ongoing information on Obama's Attorney General nominee. Her first name is Loretta, her last name is Lynch. She represented Clinton's during a Whitewater. New York federal prosecutor Loretta Lynch, the new nominee for Attorney General, has a career filled with high-profile cases, and she was a member of Bill Clinton's defense team during the 92 Whitewater corruption probe. Now, there's a clip that's added to this, and I'm going to read it to you. And it has to do with the death of Vince Foster. In the last weeks of his life, Foster offered some advice to Loretta Lynch, a member of the Clinton's campaign defense team. Lynch had come to Washington to discuss a possible job in the White House counsel's office, where Foster was the deputy. After chatting with another White House lawyer, Lynch found herself in Foster's small office in the West Wing. The conversation turned to questions of morality and ethics. Foster and Lynch had worked together on issues related to Madison and Whitewater in 1992, and Lynch knew that Foster always tried to do the ethical thing. When the subject of taking a job in the White House arose, Foster urged Lynch to turn it down. She would, he warned, lose her moral compass. "Don't come to Washington," Foster said. "You'll lose your soul." So as he made this announcement Saturday, Obama called the two-time U.S. president for the Eastern District Court of New York, a tough, fair, and independent lawyer. Nothing independent about her and nothing fair about her, tough as she may be. "It's pretty hard to be more qualified for this job than Loretta Lynch." Listen, she's endorsed by Obama. She's no good. Indeed, the prosecutor has a long career built on some high-profile cases. But there is one case Lynch was involved in that few are talking about. Lynch was a part of Bill Clinton's Whitewater probe defense team in 1992. In 1992, the Clintons came under fire for investing in a perennially failing Arkansas real estate company known as Whitewater Development, a venture heavily subsidized by Clinton friend Jim McDougal. In an effort to soften the losses Clintons were experiencing as investors, the probe was widened to look into the future of the Madison Guarantee Savings and Loan to which it was connected. Eventually, the U.S. Securities Exchange Commission won several convictions, handing jail time to the McDougals as well as Arkansas Governor Jim Guy Tucker. The Clintons escaped any convictions in the probe. A New York Times article from March of 1992 reported that Lynch was one of the Clintons' Whitewater defense attorneys, as well as a campaign aide. She's being protected. She's being rewarded for her services. I hope the Senate is aware when they are questioning Lynch that she was part of the Clintonista team that tried to completely suppress Jennifer Flowers' testimony, suppress all media reporting of Flowers' sexual tryst. She was his mistress for 12 years with Slick Willie. Lynch is as morally, ethically, politically bankrupt as any other Democrat. She is not fit to serve in any government position. Oh, I take that back. That's by a lady. She might make a decent janitor. Ooh. Okay, so that's a little fuel for the fire. Let's see what else is going on. We're out of time almost. We're at 2:07. Okay, how about the ABCs of love?
Do bopsy do, boom 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 boom, do bopsy
do, boom 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 boom.
Somebody's asking, do you mean that she can be the new attorney general without congressional confirmation? And I don't know the answer to that. Okay, I got to tell you that when he announced it, it was almost like she's got the job and there's nothing you can do about it. But I'll tell you who will tell you the truth, and he will tell you what your chances are, and that's Mark Levin. Mark Levin's on WABC. And I think he's on from 6 to 9 o'clock. And I'm sure this is going to be one of his hot topics on Monday night. I'm going to sign off. I'm going to play a tribute to the American people, the God and country people, with a song that ties us all together, a hymn, Amazing Grace.
Marching Band of London lives on. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.